Year. This is the year that can be a red letter year for each one of us. This is the year when we can move from the place that we're at to a much grander place. It depends on you. How much you want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. We sang some choruses. One chorus said something like, Lord, I'm longing for more of you. Are you really? Do you really long for the Lord more than anything else in the world? Because if you do, then you will find that God will be everything that you've ever expected and more besides. But if you come along with an apathetic heart and say, well, God, do what you want, you'll get nothing. You have got to be the driving force. Now, today, it's my privilege to introduce us to the book of Romans. The book of Romans is often called the freedom letter. We all want to be free. We want to be free to glorify God, don't we? How many want to be free just to please themselves? You see, you make a choice. You can either be free to choose what you want to do when you want to do it, and you can forget all about the Lord. Yes, if you've given your life to him, he won't let you go, but you won't have a blessed life. You won't have excitement in your life. You won't have joy in your life. You won't have peace in your life. You'll have the struggles and trials that people without Jesus will have. The freedom letter. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 1, the first 17 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith amongst all nations for his name, among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I wanted to come to you, but was prevented, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That last sentence sums up the whole of the book of Romans. In fact, it sums up how we should be related to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:32 says this. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sometimes we miss the simplicity of the truth of Jesus Christ. And because we try to make it more complicated, we fail to get satisfaction. The gospel that we follow doesn't seem to do the things that the Bible promises. You see, mankind was corrupted from the beginning. When Adam sold his soul to the devil, he did it for all mankind. Unfortunately, that state of affairs is passed on to every one of us. And so we have, most of us have a devious mind. Somebody does us a good deed and we say, what does he want? Only sometimes it's only in jest, but it's there. We don't have an open heart to everybody around us. We find it hard, don't we, to receive a gift. What do we say? Oh, you shouldn't have. And then if that's passed over, when the people that have given us something have gone away, if we're husband and wife, we look at each other and say, well, we really ought to do something for them in return, don't we? Well, that's not a good way to receive a gift. A gift doesn't bring obligation. But we think it does because of our corrupted minds. A gift is a free thing. It's given and forgotten, or should be. I know some people who give things to get back. Yeah. I hope you're not one of them. When we come to God, we miss this simplicity that God gives the gift of salvation freely. We want to do something to repay him. And it's not saying, I'm indebted to God because he's done so much for me. I really, you know, want to serve him because he's lifted me out of the pit. No, very often it is, I've got to purchase my own salvation. And so we get busy in works, and works that God hasn't given us to do. If you're in a work that God has given you to do, you will never get tired, you will never get fed up, and you will never get worn out. You will always be fresh. But if it's something I've picked up because I've got to repay him, I've got to work out my obligation, then it will be hard work. It will drain me. It will make me a very unpleasant person. It would be something of a burden. But don't we say, well, we've all got our burdens to bear? No, we don't. Jesus came to take our burdens away to the cross. And that's where we should have left them. But we've got this mindset that says, I can't have anything for free. So in the end, we offer God our paltry works and abilities, our valueless trinkets. And he doesn't want them in the first place. He loves you. The Bible says, be as little children. I see a lovely little girl here. Now, I'm sure you parents don't want her to pay you anything for looking after her, do you? You just love her, don't you? We've got to have that same attitude to God. The same attitude. I come as a little child, Father, not as an intellectual human being working it all out. I come in simplicity. You see, because we're so fallen and we're so far as natural human beings from what God intended us to be and wants us to be, we can't understand that depth of the fall, but to him, we're just as the dirt of the earth. What did Paul say? I am the offscouring of the earth. That's real in reality, how we relate to God. But God says, no, come, you're my son. To the prodigal son, even though he went to feed the pigs, the Jew would never feed the pigs, he was still the master's son. And the master welcomed him back with open arms. In Isaiah 64:6, it says, But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as a filthy garment. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Yeah, they've taken us away from the simplicity of the gospel, which is come to Christ, come to Calvary, lay all your burdens down at the foot of Calvary and walk away free. Not carrying a haversack full of things you've still to deal with. You see, mankind often thinks too much of himself. And the Bible warns against that. But really, our lives are just as the fleeting dew on the grass in the morning. Really quite nothing in terms of the time of the earth, the length of it. Yes, we might make a little mark, but it's soon erased. But in God, in Christ, we become unshakable, unmovable, possessed by and possessors of the power of God in the Holy Ghost. When we come to Christ, when he comes into our hearts, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts to give us the power of God to overcome all the problems that have beset us because we are human beings. We have the power to overcome in our own lives. When you consider it and consider ourselves against God, what have we got to bargain with? Absolutely nothing. You see, God's anger for sin is not appeased by anything we can give him, anything we can pay, or anything we can do, apart from repent. A restored relationship with God is only achieved in one way. And it's God that does it all. It's all by the grace of God. He does absolutely everything. All we've got to do is just say, yes, Lord. Yes, I want you, Lord. I'll drop everything else in my life, but I want you more than anything. I'm standing here today by God's grace. There have been several times in my life when I should have died and I didn't, road accidents and the rest, but by his grace, I'm here to speak to you this morning. It's not my lifestyle. It's not my knowledge. It's not my character or my years walking with him. It's all by his grace and his saving works that were completed on Calvary. He has done everything for your freedom so that your face can have a permanent smile. It doesn't matter that, yes, some tragic things happen to us, really tragic. But God can give us the power to overcome and to go on with life. This is what Romans is all about. It's all about this freedom in Jesus Christ. Coleridge, he said of the book of Romans, it's the most profound literary work in existence. Luther, he said it's the chief part of the New Testament and the perfect gospel. Romans is the most perfect rendition of the terms of salvation that you can find anywhere in the Bible. Calvin said, if a man understands Romans, he has a sure road open for him to understand the whole of Scripture. And it all hangs on this one sentence, the just shall live by faith. Maybe it's because Romans is the greatest treatise on God that's ever been written, but the letter has figured prominently throughout history in every significant evangelical revival, Augustine, Luther, Wesley, and later ones, it's been this truth, the just will live by faith. God has often used the words from the book of Romans to awake his own people. That's us. I was asleep before when Steve called me to do communion. The thing is, you see, we don't do that now in Bryn. At the beginning of the meeting, I or one of the other leaders will go around and say, you're doing communion today. We don't get many refusals, but you have to be ready. But God has to wake up his people very often. from their slumbers because we settle. We get somewhere comfortable and we think we're all right. Not bothered about those people outside. They deserve it. Don't we get that attitude sometimes? While we're here, we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we like it or we don't. Don't always have to speak it, but we certainly have to live it. And it has to be seen on our faces. Maybe, as both our congregations study through the book of Romans in the coming weeks, God may kindle afresh a love and devotion to him. Maybe we'll have a revival. He's waiting. He's at the door to fill your heart today with himself to overflowing and to deal with all the issues that are troubling you right now. He doesn't want us going into a new year weighed down by last year's problems. He wants to take them right now, this instant. Well, this Roman church that Paul wanted to go to, it was a very large Gentile church. He uses the Gentile greeting in Scripture there of grace and not the Hebrew greeting of peace. So we know by that it's largely Gentiles he's speaking to. It was not founded by Peter. Peter was still in Jerusalem at the time of the Jerusalem Council in AD 50. And the Roman church was a strong and powerful Gentile church in its own right at that time. It was a large church and it had several meeting places. One over at Bryn, one here in Henley Green. Only God knows how many more. What about Paul? What were his credentials for bringing this truth to an already successful and powerful church? Why should they listen to him? And what did God see in Paul that he would trust him with this message? Well, Paul introduces himself in verse 1. Paul, a servant. In the Greek, it means a slave of Christ. He introduces himself as a slave of Christ. Well, he says, I don't want to be a slave. Oh, not the sort of slave that's forced to work, but rather he himself felt that that was his calling. He was called by God to serve God. There's no greater privilege than that. No greater privilege. There's no greater reward either. Secondly, he calls himself an apostle. That means he was directly and divinely appointed by Christ. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men. For I neither received it from men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. Let's understand that although Paul was a very learned man, and he was learned in theology, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, he's giving no credit for his knowledge of God to Gamaliel. And if there's any credit for me, none of it goes to my education. It's Jesus Christ. You see, this kind of a revelation of who God is and what God does and what he wants only comes by the Spirit of God. The mind cannot understand it. The Bible says that. No one can understand God by their mind. It has to come through the heart and the spirit. And thirdly, Paul is set apart and appointed and anointed for this work. If God appoints you to something, he will anoint you to do it. You will have no problems. And if he hasn't anointed you, you need to seek his face. Maybe you're not in the right place. Or maybe you need to seek him for the anointing. This is why the Romans needed to listen to Paul. God had sent him with a revelation. This is why we need to take in the words from this book to the church of Rome, the Romans. Can I just challenge you a little bit? You see, we only grow when we're challenged. I'm not going to tickle your ears. I don't want to do that. Nobody ever tickled mine. It just challenges. Do you have in your heart a desire to tell other people about Jesus? To glorify him by the way you live your life? Do you? I don't want you to put your hands up or anything like that, because I know in some cases I'll be perhaps touching a sore point. In other places you want to shout up and shout hallelujah. I don't want you to do that. I want you to go before God and say, in all honesty, Lord, I don't see it quite like that. Secondly, do you spend enough time with God for him to reveal the truth of the scriptures to you? That makes the word that you're reading come alive? Or is it just a word on a page that doesn't stir you at all? You see, we have control of our time. And God does nothing quickly. I've found sometimes he takes absolutely ages. And then all of a sudden, he's done it. But it's in his time. My experience in the last couple of years is that God is speeding up greatly, because I believe the end is very close. And he keeps challenging me. I'm thinking, you know, like a human being does. Well, you've done your bit. You're getting on a bit. It's about time you settle down. So, I'm just sorting a few things out at home, you know. And I came across my passport. I thought, won't need that again. So I put it to the back of the drawer. About 2 hours later, the telephone rings. And it's my friend Rodney from Colombo in Sri Lanka. Hi, Jim, how are you doing? When are you coming? Okay. Quite honestly, I really didn't think I'd be going abroad again. In fact, I'm going sooner than that. Just a holiday. Somebody's invited me. God's taking over. This year I'm going to be preaching more than I've ever preached in my life. There's no retirement. Come on, there's a good, exciting future in front of everybody. I've even got so slim I can get into my nice suit. It's hung there in the wardrobe for 20 or 30 years and I couldn't get in it. See, God's good at all things. Do we see ourselves as set apart to serve God? I do. I've served the world for long enough. God allowed me to do a good job, but now that's over. And until I die, I will go wherever he sends me. I will say whatever he tells me. I'll put my arms round whoever he puts in front of me. You just don't know what God is going to do. Paul had a great heart to serve. You know, a heart to serve is not just a performance. To serve God demands everything. You have to go out of your way to love people. To go to the ones that are having problems that you know of and just put your arms around them and say, God bless you. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes you have to go to the people that you'd rather not speak to because they're a bit rough on you. But have we got a heart to really serve? To serve effectively, you've got to have not just your desire, but you've got to have a driving force inside. You've got to be driven. And like Paul, we can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the driving force. He's the one that tells us, communicates to us what God wants. Where to go, what to say, who to be with. Paul had a deep thankfulness to God for the Roman Christians, for their faith. Not just that they were saved, but their type of faith. Because, you know, it stood out. It's in Romans 1:8, we read this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. For your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Is yours? It can be. Is it spoken of in the district where you live? Is it spoken of in the church? Your faith, the depth of your faith, the love that you have for God and other people? Is it a thing for other people to wonder at? Paul knew that God had favored these people. And you know what his response was? To pray for them continually. but to pray in the Spirit so that you would know what was their spiritual needs, because spiritual needs are the greatest amongst us. Our material needs may be causing a problem, but it's all in the heart. Last July, I ended up in hospital with sepsis and a form of arthritis, which was very painful. And I've seen the rheumatologist, and he said, oh, he says, with your attitude, you will make a full recovery, and I am doing. You see, it's all in the heart. It's all in the heart. I get so fed up with, you know, this is funny, but it's not funny, if you know what I mean. I've got a good friend, about my age, not quite as old, and he thought he was going to do me a favor, and he took me to all these old age lunches. Age UK? Well, some of you probably know I've got a funny sort of sense of humor. And nobody laughed. They all, yeah. They all growled at me. And he took me to a church, old folks lunch up over in Orton. Food was good. I enjoyed the food, no problem. But I came over and I said, I'm not doing that again. Come on, where's the young folk? I want to be with young folk. In my heart, I'm 21. I can't jump like a 21. I must admit, I jump like an 80-year-old, but there's no end to what God can do, though. Praise him, praise him. Paul prayed continually for these people. And he had this unfailing desire over many, many years of going to preach this gospel of justification by faith to them. It's a desire that he had for a long time. Audrey and I had a desire after hearing many missionaries when we were young to go out to Africa and places like that just to preach the gospel. But we never thought it would happen, but it did. And it happened just so suddenly. When are you coming? You know, it was just like that. We have a responsibility to other people. I have a responsibility to this little congregation in Bryn that I've been trusted with for the moment. I pray for them every day, particularly if there's a need. I have to care about them as I care about myself. And you maybe have somebody that you need to care about. It may be just the person sat next to you right now. But we need to care. It's not about us receiving. God will give us freely. But it's about us passing that love of God on to somebody next to us. What was this message of freedom that Paul was preaching? What was this vital message? But in short, what is the gospel? What is the heart of the gospel message? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I might be seeming to labor that sentence, but I want you to get it fixed in your heart. I want you to wake up in the night and it's there. The just shall live by faith. That includes you. The just shall live by faith is the first response to the question, what is the gospel? But you know what? You will find out that it takes the whole of the letter to the Romans to get through the answer. Yes, you can sum it up in the just shall live by faith. But there is so much in that phrase. There is so much for us to take into our hearts. I don't say understand. It's the wrong place. You want it down here. And it will take the whole of 29 weeks that we will be studying Romans for us to get through all the points, all the finer points. It's such a great message. This was the source of Paul's great excitement, was there was so much wonder. What is the power of God? Well, in the first place, it is God's wisdom, in contrast to the stupidity of man's wisdom. hear what he says in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, "My speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of peace." It's a demonstration of the love of God in your life. It is resurrection life, power, operating in you today. I want you to understand that, because God has taken a few years, really, to put me in that place. He's taken me through some low places just so I will understand that that resurrection power of the Holy Ghost sent by Jesus Christ working in me is going to make me overcome all the problems I've got. This power of God is going to manifest a change in our thinking, in our lifestyle, and in our attitude. It is not useless, dead dogma. Some people study theology because they're interested in dead doctrine. They never intend to apply it to their lives. They just want to know it so they can argue. Don't argue. It's a waste of time. Just show them. And if if they insist, just put your arms around them and say, "I love you, brother. I love you, sister." I'll shut them up. We are forgiven. We're accepted with God. Do you feel accepted with God today? Eh? Yeah, you are. He loves you. He really does. You're delivered from the future wrath of God because of sin. That's been dealt with. You've got this new life in you right now. And if you haven't, go and ask God about it. Come on, I want it. You've got a whole new dynamic for living. Just by faith, the resurrection power of Christ is working in us. It's the power of the gospel. Nothing is gained by self-effort and human devices. I'm heartily sick of these books I come across. You know, 3 steps to power with God, 5 steps to power over yourself. It's nonsense. God does it in 1 step when we trust him. This gets in the way. Now, I believe in this because I earn my living, building it up for other people. But nothing is gained in the kingdom of God by self-effort. Remember, folks, the just shall live by faith. Thank you. Father God, we just bless you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you've made it so simple. That, mighty God, if we turn to you right now, you will fill us with your Spirit. You will replace, Lord, our problems, our worries, our concerns with your love and your joy and your peace. Lord, I just pray for this beautiful congregation right now, that right now they will sense your presence in their lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen.